Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, where it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And also joining us in studio today, Bob Buhner back in the house. Bob, welcome back.
Hey, Matt. Good to be here on a rainy Tuesday afternoon. I know we've got a bunch of things going on today. We're going to hear from Coach Nathan Davis from Bucknell. They had a big win last night all the way up in Massachusetts, beating Holy Cross by about 20. That was a great win. They really needed it. We've got Steve Jones going over to the Bryce Jordan Center very soon to get ready for tonight's Big Ten matchup with the Illini of Illinois. Penn State on a really great winning streak.
Yes, right. 8 in a row headed into tonight, and they can continue to climb the Big Ten standing. Still a game behind Maryland coming into tonight. And with this game tonight, of course, is the all-access game with Fox. And Bob, Steve and I were talking about this yesterday a little bit, and kind of worrisome a little bit of how this might go, because everything is really going to be out there tonight. You're going to see live mics with the coaches all game long, and on the huddle, you're going to have live mics in the locker room too. There's going to be no commercial breaks whatsoever, so this is going to be pretty interesting to see. From a fan's perspective, I think it's going to be cool, but there's some things I would still be worried about with as far as like game strategy. You don't want that stuff getting out there, so I kind of have mixed feelings about it. But I think this is either going to go one of two ways. I think it's either going to be a really good thing to have in the broadcast center, it's going to be really, really bad.
I don't think it's going to hurt anything, although I wonder what it does to the coaches, knowing that they are being mic'd, where they might say something. Again, not they don't want to reveal strategy or how they motivate their players for fear of being politically incorrect. It's a weird kind of a thing. Sometimes some things are left better unsaid than said at times, and this might be one of them, but we're going to find out. I think it's not on the Big Ten Network tonight.
It's on Fox tonight, I think, on FS1.
Yes, it is FS1.
Yeah, it's FS1. I just talked to Joe Davis.
Oh, well, they're already getting ready.
Joe,
we got
what are you doing
3 hours and 20 minutes till tip-off.
I'm kind of like a traffic cop with this thing.
Ha!
You know? He said, Pat's, you know... Pat's okay with her, you know, he's got to go about his deal, you know.
Steve, the question I have on these games where the coaches are mic'd, does that require Pat to say, okay, put a mic on me? And
Yes. But here's the problem he had, Bob. Pat kept trying to put them off, okay?
Sure.
Because he didn't want to do it.
Okay.
And Brad Underwood said yes.
And?
He's the Illinois coach.
Oh.
And when Brad Underwood said yes,
yeah,
now who looks like the
yeah,
okay,
exactly, especially when it's in your house.
Yeah, so I mean, you know what, he's going to do it, and part of this is he briefly addressed this with the players. Because, you know, the players are going to get in the huddle, and they're not mic'd,
no.
But Pat is. So you got to be careful across the board.
Yeah.
With certain things. So just, you know, he just made them aware, and it's like, okay. But you know what? I know that people, I was kidding Joe today, Joe Davis today. Mm-hmm. And Joe, by the way, just so people don't know, Joe is also the... The play-by-play voice of the Dodgers. He is the guy that replaced Vin Scully.
Well, nobody replaces Vin Scully.
Well, I want to give Joe Davis credit. Sure. Joe Davis has done one heck of a. Joe Davis is not just a good announcer; he is an excellent announcer, and I have a lot of respect for Joe.
Well, to get that job, Steve, you have to be extra special for two reasons. One, we know the L.A. market is huge.
Right, the scrutiny.
Yeah, and it's the Dodgers.
It's not just the Dodgers, though. You know what? It's more than that. Think about Los Angeles. Chick Hearn.
Yeah.
Okay? Ralph Lawler. Bob Miller, the Kings. Lawler, by the way, the Clippers. Right, Vin Scully. These guys had these jobs forever. Forever. Chick Hearn forever with the Lakers. Ralph Lawler forever with the Clippers. Bob Miller forever with the Kings. Vin Scully forever with the Dodgers. I mean, has there ever been a market that had people longer tenured than Los Angeles? Then Joe steps in, and look, and to Joe's credit, Joe Davis, he's been Joe Davis. And he grew up in Michigan, but I have to admit, Steve, he says, being in Southern California, I've become very, very soft when it comes to cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I gave him, the old line I use often, when it's really cold out and Penn State's in some Midwest city in February, I'll say, why couldn't we have joined the ACC?
Yeah. Wouldn't hurt to be down in Florida State or...
Ooh, you got that right.
Lots of good places to be rather than, East Lansing or something like that.
Oh, Madison?
Or Minneapolis. Ouch.
On the phone, I have the AccuWeather app. And on my phone, but I also have something called WeatherBug. All right, just to give a couple, whatever. Now, WeatherBug will do pictures to go with whatever the weather is. So it's, there's a big sun or there's a cloud or rain or whatever. I've been in Madison where you turn the phone on, it's an igloo. It's like, yo, we got it. What are we doing here? Oh, my goodness. So it
should be a huge crowd tonight at the Bryce Jordan.
Yeah, it'll be a good crowd tonight. It won't be, it won't be a sellout or anything.
No, it's a midweek game.
I mean, that's what they were asking me about, is what's the crowd going to be like. And I said, look, this is a market that thrives on Saturdays. I said, not Friday nights, not Sundays. I said, but it is a basketball market that thrives on Saturdays. It always has. Well, Penn State's now out of Saturday games. But that's fine, because Penn State ended up with five of them this year. I mean, in the Big Ten, they ended up with five Saturday games. You can't ask for better than that. You cannot ask for better than that. And Penn State got exactly what it needed from the conference in terms of giving it its best shot at attendance. They were able to get five Saturday games. That includes the Palestra game, which was a sellout. And they also have a team that is now ranked ninth in the country. So Penn State in conference games is averaging nearly 12,000 a game right now in conference,
which is just fabulous.
Right. Now, that's not going to be where it is today. I mean, tonight's not going to be that. Now, tonight, maybe they get to 10,000. Maybe. Rutgers next week, we'll see. But I think Michigan State, senior night, combination of Michigan State, senior night, Lamar, Mike Watkins, Curtis Jones, their last games at home, which it will be their last game at home.
Yep.
I think they're going to get a terrific crowd for that. Yep. So, yeah, the last three games, including tonight at home, are weeknight games. But, okay, that said, Penn State has had five Saturday home games. And you can't ask for, in this market, the Big Ten could not have handed Penn State a better schedule this year. And I've been somebody who's been critical. I've been critical. Look, I've discovered things and going through, because I have to live it. Remember, if you live it, you then see some things and you sit back and go, whoa, this doesn't feel right. Because when you're the one going through it, because I have to travel too.
Yeah.
All right? So because I have to travel with them too, you sit back and say, well, this makes no sense. Why are they playing a Thursday road game at 9 o'clock and they're playing another weekend road game? Right? Why is that happening? And I remember one year it happened four times in the conference all year. And Penn State had two of the four.
And, you know, that's
you sit
just...
back, and I've been critical of that. So when you're critical of it, okay, you better have the ability that when it's right to tell everybody it's right. That way everybody knows perspective-wise, like, oh, hey, you know, Steve was critical of it before, but he says this is right, so it must be right.
But, you know, when those adverse kind of travel games occur, that just fuels the conspiracy theorists out there who believe that the Big Ten has it in for Penn State.
No, I don't think that. I never think that.
No, but I mean, some fans do.
Oh, I understand that. That's, you know, believe me, I have to live through that part, too. Yeah, you just sit there and go, okay, go ahead, just keep talking.
Yep.
But what happens, though, is that when you're not in the upper echelon of the conference, which Penn State has not been in basketball, you kind of feel at times like, okay, now you're being filled in.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, you feel like you're, okay, all right, well, okay, we got to do this. We'll just fill it in. We'll do it with them. Because they're not going to do it with Michigan State.
Yeah.
You know, now remember, Michigan State, though, has to play a lot of those Sunday games. Kansas, for example. Let's go to the Big 12 for a moment. Kansas has played a lot of big Monday games, a ton of big Monday games, which means Kansas has had to play some Saturday Monday games, right?
Yeah.
All right? Now, that's a tough turnaround, but a lot of those big Monday games are at home. Well, guess what? It gives them an extra day to get ready for Saturday.
Sure, and Kentucky the same way. You've seen a lot of Monday games.
Yeah, you know, so, but I think... there are certain things that happen schedule-wise. You sit back and go, really? Now, not this year, though. That has not happened this year. The spread out between games, for the most part, has been really good. The five Saturday games, really good. And I said this all back in August. This is not Johnny-come-lately stuff, because you know this is not a Johnny-come-lately show. I try to talk about things months in advance, so that when things happen, people say, yeah, I heard on the show, this all makes sense to me as I'm watching it.
Well, as you said about the senior night being the last home game for three fantastic guys, in other years it would have been, well, we're going to get that first round home game in the NIT. No need to worry about that this year.
No, there's not. And but you have to keep going here. Right? The one thing that a player and a coach cannot do is they cannot do what the fans do. The fans are absolutely entitled to look ahead. The fans are absolutely entitled to think about seeding. The fans are absolutely entitled to think about where they're going to be in the first round. The player and the coach can't do that at all. They can't. They've got to remain present. And, I mean, and part of this... for example, people will say, well, you don't do that on the show. No, I don't do it on the show because guess what? I prepare game by game by game by game. I know what's going on around the conference. Okay? I know what's going on everywhere. All right? I know Darren Davis for Indiana. He was 9-for-9 on Sunday at Michigan. I know that. It was his first double-figure game of the year because, you know, you have to be aware of what's going on around you. But when it comes to locking in on the game, I've only watched the scout tape on Illinois. I've only gone to practices dealing with Illinois, and I've got the only chart I have in my bag right now is Illinois. That's all I have because that's the only game I can do. So that's from a personal perspective.
Sure.
A player has to be even more so locked in. Coach has to be more so locked in. There's a lot of outside noise going on, and it's good outside noise.
Well,
okay, this is not like in past years where it's bad outside noise.
Yeah.
It's good outside noise. But guess what? Good outside noise is just as destructive as bad.
Well, it's just outside noise, and it's loud. And this year, even louder, Steve.
Well, I understand. And that's fine. It's all good.
Well, hey, Penn State's been waiting for that.
Yeah, I've done this for 38 years, you're telling me?
Yeah.
We'll come back with more. I look at fans. You don't know how long I've waited.
Yes.
I've done the games for 38 years, okay?
I know you have.
Okay? I look at fans like, you're telling me?
Yes. Well.
Really? Okay, I've been at all the games,
yes.
Okay? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Okay.
It is amazing what, and this, again, we try to talk about a lot of stuff in advance of what's going on. A lot of stuff. So sometimes we get to this point where we revisit. And part of revisiting is the key, I feel, in today's college basketball. It's always been important for Penn State to be the older team. We are in an era of college basketball one and done. Let me now explain to you, in my opinion, what the most valuable one and dones are in college basketball. When you get the right grad transfer, that to me is the right one and done, getting the right grad transfer along the way, because you're getting an older player to come into your mix that knows the speed of the game, has been around the block. I mean, how does Kentucky feel about Nate Sestina, for example? Well, I know how Penn State feels about Curtis Jones and about being the kind of guy he has been for them this season. Yes, has he slumped offensively of late? There's no question he has. The last, I'd say, 2 weeks he slumped a bit offensively. No doubt about it. But think about Michigan where he ran off 11 straight points. Think about the Alabama game. Think about the supplement he was in the Iowa game when Isaiah Brockington had 23. It's been five games. Syracuse, there are five games that we can think of. I think Yale's the other one that we can think of right away where he has been a swing guy for what's happened with Penn State. And that, to me, is an important factor. The one and done that we should be looking at when it comes to programs like Penn State is not the 18-year-old one and done. It's the 22-year-old one and done, the right grad transfer that fits your program and its needs. Penn State needed another guard in there, and also getting a transfer like Isaiah Brockington to come in. All right, that's helped in terms of the recruiting, and it's helped Penn State to transition to being the older team out on the floor. Very important. Brian Barnhart, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football and basketball, is going to join us in the next half hour. Nathan Davis is on the show today. Buhner's in the building.
Absolutely.
Matt Catrillo's in the building.
Exactly.
And the rear corner office door is shut because somebody's in the building but asleep.
Yes. I'll go wake him up.
Well, I mean, the suit's wondering, how do we know this? He snores. He snores.
The building's shaking.
It's unbelievable. Hey, Matt and his wife had a baptism the other day. It's awesome. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Name of the show sounds so much more impressive than it really is. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Penn State basketball tonight, 6:30. 6 o'clock the airtime. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And joining us from the five-star Ritz-Carlton in State College is my good friend, the play-by-play voice of Penn State, of Illinois football and basketball, Brian Barnhart. And Illinois only stays at five-star places since the 2005 Final Four. Brian, welcome.
Hey, it is impressive. It's an impressive show to be on, the Steve Jones Show.
It's great to be with you, my friend.
Yeah.
Haven't seen you yet this year. Jeez.
I know. I almost forgot. You in Indiana, we haven't seen.
You haven't seen Indiana yet.
I was going to kid Don Fisher. It's like, I didn't even know, because we didn't play him in football either. I'm like, are you still in the Big Ten? But it'll be good to see you guys tonight.
It'll be great to see you as well, along with Ed Bond. All right, so I have to have fun at Ed's expense.
Yes. Ed is along for the ride again. So.
Yeah. I've got to ask you now, this team, especially early on, did really well on the road. In fact, I think, do you have with three or four Big Ten road wins, Brian?
Three. One at Purdue, three. At Michigan, at Wisconsin.
Yeah. When you watch them at that stage, because this season goes in stages, when you watch them at that stage, what did you see in this Illinois basketball team that made them already a really good home team, but suddenly become a good road team?
Defense and rebounding. And those are two things that Lou Henson, of course, all those years, as you know, hung his hat on in Champaign. And Brad Underwood's been trying to get to that point. Changed up his defense a little bit this year with Kofi Coburn playing the middle. And very much improved defensively, and they crashed the glass relentlessly. So those are the two things. When you take those two things on the road, you're going to have a shot to win, as you know, in most cases. And that certainly was the case in those games, was they just out-rebounded. They beat all of those teams soundly on the glass, and then they just played really good defense, holding those teams generally under about 60 points, and that's how they won. And both areas, offenses slipped a little bit, and of course we didn't have Io DeSumo in the last game with Rutgers. But the offense has struggled at times in stretches of games, but the defense has been there. But even in the most recent couple of road games at Iowa and at Rutgers, they had a couple of stretches in the game where their defense just broke down a little bit, and that was really the difference in the game, the possessions in the game that turned the game in Iowa's favor and Rutgers' favor.
All right. Rutgers at home. I'll be honest by it. I feel Steve Peichel's done a good job of getting his team to play a certain way because it wins, and they've bought into it. So I give them all the credit in the world. I also think at home they get away with a lot more than they do on the road. Fair?
Well,
fair?
They're very handsy, let's
fair?
Say that.
Yeah, very handsy. Yes, they're a very handsy team at home. All right, the one player on Illinois' team that I have not seen in person is Kofi Coburn. He's a massive man. In fact, I'd compare him really to our co-host here, but not favorably. When you look at his development, what have you seen? Because he didn't start playing basketball until a few years ago.
Right, yeah, as a freshman in high school. Yeah, he's the coaches have been telling me all year, Steve, they say when he figures out what he's doing, he's going to be really good. Part of what his success this year, and he's had 10 double-doubles as a freshman, so it's not like he, you know, hasn't been a great player already, but you can almost see him, and he's like a sponge. He soaks up information, and he gradually just every day gets better. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but it is true. In practice or in games, he wants to learn. The coaches love him. And so just learning mostly, I think, how to use his sheer size and power to his advantage. Sometimes he doesn't grab the ball with both hands, or when he, you know, sets himself under the basket, he almost tries to get rid of the ball too quickly. There's just little things, little nuances to the game. If he can learn, and he did a lot of that in the first half at Rutgers, I mean, he was dominant inside. I mean, he was dominating the glass. He had 8 points and seven rebounds in about 12 minutes. He can dominate a game like that once he really figures out how to use his size and his ability to his advantage, because he's already big to begin with. And in non-conference games, he was just dominant. I mean, there was nobody had anybody like him to counter. In the Big Ten, he's run into Oturu, and he's run into Garza, and he's run into all these big guys. And so he's been on a learning curve, but he's a pretty quick learner.
I noticed in the last game, Georgie Bashanisvili ended up coming off the bench, and Alan Griffin started in that game. Do Georgie and Kofi work well together, or does Alan just give them better balance on the floor?
Well, it's interesting because Georgie is kind of, in a way, has been very selfless. He's sacrificed, you know, because he was so good under the basket last year, and he was so dominant. And then when Kofi came in, you know, where else are you going to play Kofi? You've got to play him in the middle. So, you know, Georgie moved to the four. And for the first month of the season, you could tell they were just getting used to, you know, playing with each other and Georgie figuring out his new role. He didn't have his back to the basket a lot. He had some turnovers. So that took a while to get comfortable. And then as the season went on, they started to click. And they have a very close bond off the court. I mean, they're guys from two different parts of the world. You know, the nation of Georgia for Georgie, and from Jamaica originally for Kofi, and they just became like really close brothers. And so I think that helped them develop their chemistry a little bit. So as the season went on, you know, they got more comfortable. But then as the season has also gone on, you know, teams stopped guarding Georgie because, you know, he's a good three-point shooter, but he doesn't take that many.
Right. Yeah.
But when he does, he's not a high-percentage guy. And some teams, Michigan State was kind of the low point for him because they just backed away and just didn't guard him. And the coaches warned him that that was going to happen to him and don't shoot it. Well, then he started thinking about it, and then he did shoot it three or four times, and he wound up playing 15 minutes. And so I think the coaches said, hey, let's give Allen a chance to start, A, because he can give us some instant offense, but also let Georgie just kind of sit for a few minutes on the bench and, you know, watch the game and kind of come in with a different mindset. And I thought he was much more relaxed and played a lot better the other day against Rutgers and looked more like himself. And so maybe having him come off the bench for now will work. But I think in the long term, they need him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, because Alan Griffin can hit from anywhere on the floor. So can Trent Frazier. Frazier can be explosive offensively, but he also can turn in a low line, too. Has there been concern at all? Obviously, you're waiting for any night that's a great night, but that the graph is not more even on him?
Well, it's interesting with him. You know, I mentioned Georgie being selfless. Trent, you know, as a junior, you know, as a freshman, he was our guy. I mean, he was the guy you had to go to.
No doubt.
He had a lot of big shots and scored a lot of points, but he was kind of the alpha dog, you know, on the team. I mean, he was the leader, and he had to be, even as a freshman. And as he's evolved and matured, you know, he's learned his role, A, is a little more defensive. I mean, he's usually guards, you know, the other team's best offensive player. So he's a great on-ball defender, and he really worked on his defense and to get better at that. And the other factor is, you know, that Dosunmu comes along. You know, Georgie is able to score and help. He's got some help now. He's got an Alan Griffin, so they don't have to rely on him taking all the shots as he did 2 years ago. So he has picked his spots. Now, the coaches still want him to be more aggressive and take more shots, and if there's been a concern is that at times he's almost been too deferential to his teammates, and his coaches have to remind him, hey, take the shot. We want you to shoot it because you're a good shooter. And so I think there's been a little bit of a, you know, A, his emphasis on being so good defensively, but also that there's been other parts around him he's not been required to be the leader offensively, but we still need him to do things offensively. And so that's led to some of the up and down offensively. But defensively, he's been outstanding all year.
Brad Underwood has said that Io Dosunmu is a game-time decision, so we'll leave it at that because it would be wrong of me to then ask you to try and step out of line. But what has – no, it's not fair to you, Brian, if I were to ask you that question. I know because I sit in the same chair.
Yes.
But I will ask you about with Io in, with Io out. When Io's in, what has that meant to what we see offensively? Because I think he's an NBA guy. But then you saw them, at least only one game, with him out. What did that mean?
Yeah, well, I think where we miss him both on, you know, when he's not playing is on really both ends of the floor. I mean, offensively, he is such a jet to the basket. I mean, he's so fast. He finds, you know, lanes along the baseline. He cuts to the rim. In fact, he was setting up to maybe win the game against Michigan State. You know, he was going to go to his right, pull up from 15 feet, and that's when he slipped, and he got hurt. And so, you know, he's hit big shots at Michigan. And so, A, he's the closer when, you know, at the end of games, he wants the ball. I mean, he's got the big chip on his shoulder, says, I'm going to win the game right now. So he's got it. So you miss that offensively. But, you know, passing the ball with his assists, he sets other people up so well. On defense, you miss him and what he brings to the table. So Brad's talked more about, yes, when he's not in there, we miss him offensively, obviously. But I think defensively, he helps solidify the team defense as a whole, and that's where you miss him even more, and his ability to assist. When you talk about the Wisconsin game, he had some shots late, but he also set up like three other shots late in the game at the Kohl Center that helped win that game. I mean, he was doing everything. So he is, he's a guy that's a future pro. And when you don't have him, I think the other day is we just didn't, you know, we had different guys. Everybody had settled, and you know this being on a team, everybody has a role to play. And over 15, 17 games, everybody's role had been defined. Then suddenly he wasn't there, and now Alan Griffin's starting, or this person's playing more minutes than normally they play.
Andres Feliz, for example.
Yeah, right. You have him playing more minutes, and you have Tevian Jones playing some extra minutes, and you have some lineups out there that you don't normally have in key moments of the game. And so, you know, if they can get him back, that's huge. And without him, it's overall, it's just not quite the same team.
They were going to do all access radio, but Dick and I squared too much, so that was out.
but tonight that's going to be interesting tonight, and it's weird because I want
to. Did you talk to Brad? Did you talk to Brad about this?
Did I talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've talked about it.
And I have talked about it too.
Well, the word I got is that Brad Underwood and Steve Shear, I guess it is, the CBS used to be at CBS producer who's producing these for Fox, and they go way back. And so Steve approached Brad about doing it, and Brad, said, I know him well enough, I trust him, I'll do it, but you got to get Pat to agree to it too.
Right.
So apparently Pat did, and you probably know more about that than I do. But
yes,
so they,
I do.
They agreed to it, and it's weird on the radio side because I want to mention it, but I'm also like, well, hey, you need to listen to us. You know, forget about the TV. Yeah. You know, DVR the game and go back and listen to it later. But but it will be interesting. And Kent Brown, our longtime SID, is on the trip, and I'm guessing Rose or somebody from Penn State will be involved in the. In the truck, just to monitor everything to make sure that everything goes off well.
To be honest with you, the all access games, no offense, end up being boring.
Yeah.
In terms of the presentation of it, because after a while, I think people are used to a certain way things are done.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people announcing games, angle of games. Because, look, TV tries everything now. Let's do the game from the sky cam. Well, after five plays of sky cam, you're like, can I see the normal shot? There was that Michigan-Ohio State basketball game. Remember they put the cameraman in a seat courtside, and we had to watch the entire game courtside? It's like, can we go back up top now? They try stuff, and after about 5 minutes, the audience goes, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Well, the one experiment they tried years ago, you remember this, was on TV. They tried it without announcers.
Oh, yeah.
And
that was the Dolphins-Jets game.
I'm really glad that one failed.
Oh, no. I mean, the failure of that set you and me up for years.
That's right.
And in the end, it's all about us.
That's right. That's all that really matters.
You are the greatest. You know, I think the world of you, Brian. I can't wait to see you over there. I know I'm on with you guys at 5:40 tonight.
Well, you're a great friend, Steve, and all the great work you've done in Penn State and part of Penn State lore and history. And I'm glad for Pat and for you guys and the success you're having because you certainly deserve it. And Pat's been through a lot over the years, and putting together and seeing what he's doing now is pretty exciting.
Well, it has been, but it's a huge test tonight. Illinois is good. Brian, I'll see you in a little bit, my friend. Thank you so much for doing this.
You're very good. You're very well. Welcome. Thank you.
one of my great friends, Brian Barnhart, joining us from the five-star Ritz-Carlton in State College. And when you make the Final Four like they did in 2005, you only stay at five-star hotels.
Yep. Yeah.
You're wondering where the five-star Ritz-Carlton is.
By Beaver Stadium, isn't it?
I'll tell you during the break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now that's bumper music.
That's all we play, good old classic rock.
In the back corner office, the suit is playing air guitar.
So, Steve, you'll be on in about 2 hours with the pregame show at 6 o'clock on WKOK. Tip off right around a little after 6:30. So we'll be tuned in.
Yeah, I'll just have my feet up between now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing to do between now and then.
That's all I got to do.
Just make sure you keep Girardi happy.
See, now, if they were to do an all-access on the Illinois network, I've never one time in my life heard Brian Barnhart say worse than darn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian Barnhart is just, I mean, besides being an excellent broadcaster, he's just a good guy. Just flat out really good guy. I like Brian a lot. So I will do their show tonight. Now, I always kid their engineer, Ed Bond, who, by the way, is a genius engineer. He's outstanding what he does. But I kid him all the time, like, Bond. All right. So I'm going to open up tonight, and I'm going to say, you know, I am so excited about April 10th. Right? And they're going to look at me. He says, the new Bond movie's out. I says, a little disappointed in the last one. I said, I kept waiting for Ed to come on screen. They had this guy with a British accent. What was that deal?
Yeah. You got him hooked in with that one.
Oh, these are the guys. I told this story yesterday, Bob. They were doing something on their pregame show 10 years ago, like asking each person they had on who they thought the 12th team in the Big Ten should be. This is before Nebraska. And I said, well, that's easy. I said, Hawaii. I said, of course, they're laughing. I said, you guys don't seem to get it. You have to think outside the box. I said, if the Cowboys can be in the NFC East, Hawaii can be in the Big Ten East.
Easily.
I said, and that means every year you're playing them in basketball there. Every other year you're playing them in football here. I said, the heck with this. I said, you guys want to put in Notre Dame, Nebraska? I says, guess what? In February, it's cold. I said, I want to go someplace nice.
Not to mention, if you go to Hawaii for football, Steve, you'll be at the former home of the Pro Bowl, Aloha Stadium.
Absolutely, yeah. And I can reminisce with Jack about all the great Pro Bowl moments he's had out there.
Exactly,
most of them were near the pool. So.
1 month from now, I'll be there in the Aloha Bowl area.
Oh, look at you!
Yeah,
1 month. 1 month from now, I'm going to be at a location undisclosed at the moment.
Yes. It might be somewhere with the NCAA.
Well, it's not going to be might. It will be.
Yes,
I know. Exactly. Which has got to be incredibly exciting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's... But, you know, it's funny because people have said to me, you have been so calm about this whole thing. I've done this a long time.
Yeah.
So I've been down this road before.
Well,
so you know what you're looking for and why you're looking at it, what you're seeing. So it's not, and there's, look, they've been a really good team to this point. I think they've played really well together because they play, and you can see when a team plays well together defensively. But look, offense, okay, you'll notice there's been less dribbling and more passing.
Yeah.
If you're dribbling too much, now it's sticking. If you're passing, if there's nearly as many passes as dribbles, now you got an offense.